Hey guys, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health features, health news,
health
research and updates. Yeah. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day. Hope you guys had a blessed resurrection weekend. We had a great time. Got some good food in this weekend. Got to chill out and get some sun out in this nice, hot Florida weather. They're empty. You took all those. See, this is the problem. When I came up with the idea to bring all this inventory over, there's no ending now. He just burns through all my inventory.
I'll put it over here. Now, let me ask you guys a question.
Well, give me one of those. If you
guys have to be asking the question now. Why did Ted and Austin always seem to take their drinks before the show starts?
I'm a bit of a procrastinator sometimes.
No, that's a good question.
It is a good question.
And for some reason, I don't know what it is. You guys like to watch us mix stuff up on the show.
Well, and it's not that, too, if you notice, because it's an hour show with no ads, no commercials, you've got to regulate your energy and protein and blood sugar throughout the show.
Here we go.
No, you do. Because you sit there and you say, I ate, eggs at 7 o'clock. By 11 o'clock, I am not an enjoyable person to be around.
But we could do this 3 or 4 minutes before the show started.
We could. But it doesn't make it as much fun, so I get to make a mess all over the stage.
Well, the way I look at it.
You're on G.H.I. Cleanse this morning.
I'm on G.H.I. Cleanse this morning.
That's a bold move.
That's a bold move. But I just wanted to basically, just let you guys know that it's not because we want to make a mess. It has a little bit to do with blood sugar and stabilizing energy. But the reality is that for some reason, you guys like to watch us do this. And every time we do this, we get letters. Oh, we're so happy you're taking your own product. Well, I got a newsflash for you. We always take our own product.
Well, and I like the purple stick right before the show. I timed it well. It builds up, takes about 15 minutes to kick in. Yeah. And so by about mid-show, my attention factor, purple stick, is booming.
Yeah, me too.
So, you guys need anything, to get a hold of us, the collagen peptides on product of the week. You guys have been stocking up on those over the weekend. I got another gigantic shipment coming in today. You guys pretty much burned through them all. People have been stockpiling this stuff.
What's that?
The collagen. A lot of it, too, since it's a good protein source.
Well, it's the best priced collagen on the market.
It is.
It's highest quality.
Type 1 and type 2, as far as peptides. Yep. And so, and again, if you guys need anything, want to stay stocked up, I was talking to Dad earlier. It's kind of odd. A lot of strange things have been happening with certain people stepping down and resigning.
And
the Pope
checked out.
Pope.
He checked out.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Allegedly.
Supposedly.
And then you got Klaus Schwab.
He looked pretty bad. Well, it's
Schwab
almost.
Schwab just disappeared. He stepped out of World Economic Forum.
Yeah, he did. You kind of wonder, with all the crazy stuff that's happening and all the exposure that Klaus Schwab's had, and all the food that's been disappearing, supposedly the deep underground military bases.
Allegedly.
Are we actually watching a lot of these global weirdos step down and crawl into an underground base?
Living in a cave for years just doesn't sound much fun either. But I guess those bases, some of them are kind of nice.
Now they're digging up underneath the other pyramids in Mexico. And they're finding large deposits of mercury and other structures underneath the pyramids.
Mercury.
Yeah. And, mercury is what they use in the Glocke.
Yeah.
You remember the bell in Germany. And what they did, basically, they were able to actually make it go into time travel, supposedly. So there's some weird things going on with those old pyramids. And all that stuff got shut off when the earth got split apart during the flood.
Well, speaking of shutting off, too, this is interesting. The FDA is shutting off some of these pharmaceutical reps from being on the advisory committee.
That was a really good segue. Yeah, it was good.
This is crazy to me because it still has boggled my mind for years how this is not an insane conflict of interest. So the FDA comes in and says, oh, Mr. Bob, you're a pharmaceutical rep for Pfizer. So, Mr. Bob from Pfizer, we need you to be on the advisory committee to approve these drugs. And then Mr. Bob goes, well, fantastic. Pfizer just brought forth a new cancer drug. Now, about 90% of the people die that take it, but 10% are okay. And Mr. Bob says, I vote that we approve this drug for approval for human usage. And Pfizer committee goes, cool, FDA, it's approved. So you have the very pharmaceutical reps on the advisory board that are getting these drugs approved. And the FDA apparently is starting to remove that now. This has a lot to do with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., by the way, and the new FDA head. They said the FDA plans to remove employees of pharmaceutical companies that the agency regulates from its advisory commission and elevate the role of patients and caregivers. Why in the world this has taken so long to do? Obviously, the pharmaceutical industrial complex likes their hundreds of billions of dollars a year in profits. So this made sure that these drugs continually get approved because there are a lot of drugs out there. And Dad's brought this up before. Within about 5 years, an enormous enormous amount of these drugs are pulled off the market, or they got black box warnings.
Well, you know, that's exactly what happens. 50%.
50%.
50% of the drugs.
What do they got to prove the first
place? Either they have to have their warning labels changed, or they're pulled off the market, so they get different types of black box warnings. It's a major problem with drugs because they have side effects that are unintentional and, you know, and unintended. And until you check it out with a really large group, like millions of people taking the drug, you really don't know what the long-term objective is going to be for the gross population.
Well, and then you got the issue with Pfizer and the COVID shot, where we looked and we see the response and a lot of the negative side effects that were occurring, even in the control group and in the groups that were getting these shots. And then the FDA approved it while Pfizer was covering it up.
That was because Trump's emergency authorization order.
It was a military operation.
Well, because it was basically just it was forced on us.
Yeah.
And, you know, now all these people. Now, Greg Hunter had a guy on this past week. And he's basically an undertaker. You know, he works in a mortuary, a funeral home. And he brought a whole jar full of clots that he's taken out of cadavers.
Kept them?
Oh, yeah. He said the entire blood vessels are completely, you know, constricted.
Gelled
with clots.
Congealed.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like a bunch of worms inside of this jar. And, he's still seeing this with the autopsies.
You know, it's weird.
And with the embalming.
We never heard this on a large scale before the shot, as far as blood clots like this.
Well, they didn't exist.
No.
No. You can't put spike proteins into the bloodstream and not have them clot. That's what's going to happen.
Well, the shots just keep having all these unintended side effects. And then, of course, on top of that now, you're seeing that pregnant mothers' diet is now linked to brain development. This is another crucial thing that I've told you guys about for years, and now more research is coming out on it, and it talks about maternal body fat percentage during pregnancy correlates with an increased risk of developmental coordination disorder in children, affecting motor skills and coordination.
If the body fat's too high.
Body fat. So if the mother, his body fat is too high, it's linked to a risk of development coordination disorder, meaning as far as development and dexterity and stuff as the child's grow.
Well, you know, the body fat's like its own organ. It's,
correct.
It produces a lot of estrogen. There's something else going on from
the
hormonal standpoint.
No, you know what? I saw this earlier, and I think what a lot of this has to do is the diet. If a mother's extremely obese while she's pregnant, the only way to maintain that level of body fat is an extremely unhealthy diet.
Well, I went to a birthday party on Friday night.
Okay.
Some friends had a birthday party, and I went there. And there was a girl there who I had not met before. And she's probably, I hate picking on her, but she's about probably 350 pounds.
Yeah.
And she ate this giant plate of pasta.
Yeah.
And they had a big, huge appetizer come in first. And I thought to myself, the only reason she's this big is because of what she's eating.
You can't maintain that weight.
Well, I'm not picking on this individual. She's very, very nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. But the reality is that when people eat that much pasta, that much processed food, that much glyphosate, you know, they spike their blood sugar so much that the body starts dumping huge amounts of insulin, and that insulin stores all that extra, you know, sugar as fat. And so it's just the way it works.
Well, and the other factor that people have a hard time grasping this concept is portion control. You can't eat 2,000 to 3,000 calories in a single sitting meal and not gain enormous amounts of body fat from it. It's impossible.
Well, no,
the body can't process that much food and utilize it for fuel.
Yeah, and chances are between the appetizer and and all the rest they were eating, it was going to be several thousand calories. And there was another person there, really nice guy, and I talked to him, and he's been having seizures. And I asked him, I said, "Have you been drinking aspartame?"
Yeah,
and he said, "Well, I'm not sure. I don't think so." I said, "Well, you got to make sure." And so he had hospitalized, emergency room with seizures.
Wow.
This guy's young. He's in his 30s.
Yeah.
Really, really nice fella. Christian, very strong, born-again believer. And, let me give you a little story. I had a guy come over years ago. His name was Mark from Danielle Fencing. He's the owner, CEO of Danielle Fencing. And, in fact, we were in this room, you know, standing right over there behind the cameras. And I was getting some pricing from him for some fencing. And he has really high-quality fence. And he started talking to me about, you know, his health. And I looked at him, I said, "Well, you don't look real good, buddy." I said, "Are you feeling okay?" He's real pale. He goes, "Well, I just had brain surgery a few months ago." I said, "Brain surgery?" He goes, "Well, yeah, I was having severe seizures." And I said, "And by the way, he's giving me permission to talk about this, or I wouldn't do it." And I said, "Seizures?" I said, "Were you drinking diet sodas?" And he said, "Yeah, I was. My wife got me started on them." And I said, "Oh, wow." And he said, "What happened is I was having these grand mal epileptic seizures, and I went to the doctor's office," and he's a neurologist, "and I'm sitting in his chair, and he's doing the examination on me, and he gives me a soda to drink, a diet soda." He says this causes seizures in many of my patients. Now, think of what I'm saying. The neurologist says this causes seizures in many of my patients. So Mark said he drank this soda, and within a few minutes, he's on the floor with another massive epileptic seizure. It was directly being triggered by the aspartame. And what's interesting about this is that when they went in and did an MRI on him, he had holes in the frontal lobe of his brain. Now, think about that for a second. Now, you think, well, why would they have to do brain surgery on him? Well, they had to go in there and tie blood vessels off because they were afraid they'd have an aneurysm that would rupture. Yeah, it got to that level with him, bless his heart. And he's a nice guy, too. He's a good brother. He's another Christian. And what was happening with him, basically, there's three components of aspartame. Phenylalanine, which in high concentration causes permanent nerve and brain damage in anybody. The other component is aspartic acid. And that's why they call it aspartame, aspartic acid. And that eats holes in the brains of humans, if you get high concentrations of it, and including laboratory animals. And the third ingredient is paint thinner, methanol, which cannot be made non-poisonous. So you take three neurological poisons, you combine them together, you get a sweet compound, then you market it as a compound that's supposed to be healthy for you. And it's not. It's unbelievably bad. And there's an article. In fact, I sent it to the fellow that I was having dinner with the other night. I sent it to him. It's called Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime. We sat there at the table, and I texted it to him. I went to my website, pulled it up, and sent it to him. And the thing about it is that you got to ask yourself a question. Why in the world did this get approved? Well, it goes right back to what Austin did on the first story and how the FDA has a revolving door. And a lot of guys that are on the advisory committee of the FDA basically work on the boards of these different manufacturers and pharmaceutical companies. So they approve the products through the FDA. A lot of them with the FDA get jobs with these same pharmaceutical companies
exactly
after
right.
they leave. So that's a real problem. And now another thing he's talking about. Real important for pregnant women. Now, we're talking about amino acids here, you know, with the phenylalanine and aspartic acid and all the rest of this stuff. A lot of girls and a lot of guys who basically work out really hard, they really like to take, you know, amino acids and free-form amino acids before they start working out.
Yeah.
And some of them are okay. Some of them are not. So be very, very careful, especially if you're trying to get pregnant, about using free-form amino acids for the development of the baby's brain. Third thing on this with a baby's brain. The last trimester, almost all the brain development occurs. And that last trimester, the mother needs to be on a large amount of omega-3 fat. Otherwise, if it's not, the body will take the brain's omega-3 fats from the mother's brain and give it to the child to develop the brain. And if that happens, that woman has a very high probability of going into postpartum depression from a lack of omega-3s. So, you know, being pregnant is not what you think it is when you're 15 years old or 16 years old or 18 years old. It's a very complicated process on manufacturing another human being. And you have to have the right amino acids. You have to have the right, you know, fats. You have to have the right carbs. You have to have the right everything in your body and the right nutrients to create a healthy baby. That's why a lot of babies now are being born with cancer. You think, well, are you kidding? I said, no, I'm not kidding. It's that bad because the mother's prenatal nutrition is so bad and her nutrition is so bad while she's pregnant because she doesn't know any better. The best thing to do if you're going to have a baby is go to a midwife who's also been trained in nutrition. It really is. Most of these medical doctors have no idea about nutrition whatsoever, even when they're developing fetus. We had this one idiot doctor. Oh, my God, she's an idiot. And I'm sorry to be that graphic about it, but she is. You know, Austin's wife was having problems with, you know, on the last child she had, you know, with morning sickness. And this doggone idiot doctor wanted to put her on doggone Prozac for morning sickness with a developing fetus in her body. I mean, who thinks like that? You know, the baby used to be sacrosanct. You know, the pregnant woman was sacrosanct. They didn't get any hormones, they didn't get any chemicals, they didn't get anything because they didn't want to interfere with it. Then they had the thiamide disaster with all these kids that were having the shortened limbs back in the 50s. And then they had the diethylstilbestrol they were giving these women so they wouldn't miscarriage. And all of a sudden, all these women started coming down with these daughters who were having problems with ovarian cancer, couldn't get pregnant, and boys who had testicular cancer. Every time you say, now they're giving these the coronavirus shot, you know, these spike protein shots to pregnant women. And a lot of them have miscarried, have had placental detachment. All of this is being done on purpose to reduce the population. I read that article to you last week. It said there's been about a 30-year reduction in total life expectancy now.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's true or not statistically, I'm not sure. I told you that last week when we reported on that article. But the sad part about it is that this is the goal of the World Economic Forum. This is the goal of these guys in Davos. This is the goal of these guys at the highest levels to basically reduce the population of the planet because they figure it this way. When they go ahead and put the computers in charge and everything becomes automated, they won't have a need for a workforce.
Now, it's going to drop the workforce down significantly big. I mean, you look at like McDonald's. Mm-hmm. McDonald's has already set up their almost fully autonomous, you know, fast food stores now. Where I mean, they have like one or two manager techs there that basically handle any backup or any maintenance, and everything else is all robotics.
Are they still using pink slime at McDonald's?
Oh, I haven't followed. I imagine they would. I wouldn't know why they wouldn't. I mean, it's McDonald's.
That's what they call their meat was pink slime.
It was the chicken. Yeah, yeah, it was beef or the chicken.
Yeah, I think they squirted it on.
Squirted it out.
Oh, disgusting.
The nuggets.
They cooked the beef. Yeah. Oh, I think it was the beef patty.
Well, that's why you've watched videos. And, I mean, people will take, you know, cheeseburgers and fries and they'll let them sit out for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years.
Mm.
Nothing eats them.
You
got to put it like in a landfill to get rid of it.
You know,
I
didn't believe that until I got a Twinkie.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s. I really did this, and I took a Twinkie. You remember that?
Yeah.
I had this Twinkie, and I had it, you know, in my head, my briefcase. And it, all of a sudden, I wasn't going to eat it. I wasn't saying how long it would last. I don't eat Twinkies, and it lasted about 15 years.
Yeah,
I lost it. I think it fell out of the briefcase or at a hotel or something one time. And I would sit there and I'd tell the people, I said, nothing eats this stuff.
No,
not even the bacteria eats it. Everything avoids it. Now, the ants don't eat it. Nothing wants it. But yet we give it to our children, and we wonder why they stay sick. Nobody wants it. Nothing wants a Twinkie. It's awful.
Except for human beings.
Now, they say that aspartame the same way. You sprinkle it on an ant bed, nothing will touch it. It won't even eat it. They run away.
Will they really?
Unless it acts
unless
like
they eat it, they die. I was going to say, it kills everything.
Oh, by the way, you know, Webbush Dan Ives warns that there's code red situation developing at Tesla. I thought this was interesting.
Well, this is a weird lawsuit now that's making its headlines too as well.
Yeah, they're saying that just weeks after the Webbush Securities analysis, Dan Ives slashed his Tesla price target by 43%, citing a brand crisis fueled by the CEO Elon Musk involvement with Doge. He's back with another warning about a code red moment for the American-made car brand one day before the first quarter earnings. He says Musk needs to leave the government, take a major step back on Doge, and get back to being CEO of Tesla full-time. He said that Tesla is Musk, and Musk is Tesla, and anyone who thinks that brand damage that Musk has inflicted is not a real thing, spend time speaking to car buyers in the U.S., Europe, and Asia, and you'll think differently in those discussions. 2 weeks ago, Ives, whose analysis rating on the raw stock remains, slashed his price target to $315 from $550. So he explained Tesla's basically become a political symbol globally, adding, it's time for Musk to step up, read the room, and be a leader at this time of uncertainty. Now, let me stop here for a second. Electric cars are an unbelievable nightmare. They're a complete and total waste of money. The only reason that he has made this kind of money with Tesla is because of government subsidies from Europe and the United States, period. And there are no charging stations that handle this.
The
percentage of charging stations is so low, they can't even keep the ones charged they've built. How are they going to build more with no charging
stations? Well, it's what's interesting. You know, I was in Orlando on Friday. Met up with a couple car guys that I know. No electric vehicles involved there. And we were getting some photos, and we were right beside a charging station. What's interesting, it was like one of the big charging stations in downtown Orlando.
Probably out of service.
They're like, no, they had like 20 stations on it. About half of them had signs on them. They were out of service.
Yeah.
Now, what's crazy about it, they had to build an entire substation right beside this charging station. I mean, I'm talking a giant substation, 12-foot fences, razor wire around it, gigantic substation, just to keep this entire system be able to be fed, and half of them still weren't working.
Well, Chevrolet told us that, too.
Yeah.
It cost them $1 million in one dealership to put in like 4 or 5 charging stations because the grid couldn't handle it.
Well, it takes so much juice, and now what's happened is that market – the vehicle market, the depreciations, people are starting to realize that, I mean, these are probably one of the worst investment vehicles you could possibly buy when it comes to resale value.
Well, honestly, the cars, most of the time, unless they're a collector item, aren't resale. They're not a good investment anyhow. They always fall off. You have to basically figure out the least amount of decline as far as when you buy one.
Well, and it's strange to me because now there's this new class action that started last year, but yet it's making headlines everywhere, and it's talking about how Tesla's now being accused of speeding up odometers so their warranties expire faster. Now, I'm not making any claims on this.
Yeah.
I don't either. But there's class action lawsuit in court with this now. And they've determined that this guy basically had him tested it, and he said his car, his Tesla, was logging 72.35 miles per day, despite it only being a 20-mile-per-day route. And apparently they had somebody come in and independently test this, and it was doing it.
Whoa.
It was showing 73 miles on a 20-mile trip. Now, it wasn't doing it consistently. It was doing on and off.
I'm not justifying this, but it could be that this is an internal thing that's based upon battery life.
That's also because you got to remember these things where you're not miling actually analog odometer anymore, or actually even a roll-dometer. This whole thing's all digital. Everything with Tesla is based on going into the grid and internet connection.
Wow.
So, but again, I was bringing this up. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying what this class action lawsuit's talking about. And he said basically he bought the vehicle with 30,000 miles on it. After the vehicle's 50,000-mile basic warranty expired, he basically started to realize that the underreport came back. So it basically started to go down to a normal range after the warranty expired. Again, I'm not making any claims. This is what the lawsuit states.
If this is true, this is going to cost Tesla a bundle.
This is going to cost Tesla an enormous amount of money if this goes through. But also, too, it could be getting coverage right now because they want to blast Tesla because of what's going on with Doge. I don't know. I'm just bringing this information to you. And also news. Now, this is a big deal. I'm letting you guys know this. I'm not putting any fear porn out there right now, but I'm saying this is an extremely abnormal traffic stop and an incident that occurred over in in Colorado now that's not getting any coverage. And what happened was two Mexican nationalists got pulled over in a van for basically their headlight being out. Law enforcement stopped, and they acted super sketchy. They had some non-immigration paper forms. They made them open up the back of this giant van. They counted so far 180,000 rounds of 7.62-51, which is .308. That's about $250,000 in ammo. They had no paperwork, no receipts, nothing. Driving around.
That's a lot of ammo, bud.
That's a lot of ammo.
Maybe that's why Klaus Schwab's gone underground.
I don't know again, but it says right here, to the traffic stop, detectives discovered approximately 150 boxes of 1,000 rounds each of .308 ammo, 7.62-51, and 30,000 rounds of 7.62-39, which is AK ammo. Now, the part that bothers me about this, I'm just going to put this out there from a gun standpoint, 150,000 rounds of .308. In reality, the only reason you would need that much ammo is you're running belt-fed machine guns in 134 miniguns or 240s or M60s. A regular AR-10 or, you know, basically an FAL, a .308 with 20-round box mags, you're not going to go through that much ammunition.
You know, I've heard so many times now that they're bringing these nationals in that were basically undercover military personnel.
Yeah.
And they're always military fighting age.
180,000 rounds, bro. 150,000 of that being .308. The 7.62-39 at 30,000 rounds, that makes sense because that's AK ammo. That's about 20, 30,000 rounds. You basically have different groups, individuals training. AK, 150,000 rounds. The only reason you're linking that up for belt-fed ammo, there's no way you got that. Dude, that's $200,000 in .308. .308 is expensive now. No receipts, no paperwork, no nothing. Zero in the car. And so, again, I'm not putting anything out there. What I'm saying is this. Some of these individuals that are coming here, they are well-coordinated, guys. These guys aren't a joke. They're running around getting access to $250,000 in ammo, riding around with it with no paperwork, no receipts, no contracts. 60,000 rounds of .308s on a pallet. This is three pallets of ammunition.
A lot of weight.
You don't just get this much ammo.
Must have been a heavy-duty van.
Yeah. It's just like big old U-Haul van, one of the big hauler ones.
Oh.
You don't go in and buy this ammunition in the store. These are contracts to pick up this much ammo. I know guys all over the place, I can't even get this much ammo unless I was doing a contract for something. You don't just pick up this much ammo at the store. So why they have it, why there's no paperwork on it, why there's no receipts for it, why these guys are two non-immigrant visas, two Mexican nationals running around in Colorado, make your own decision on that. But I do tell you this, make sure whatever you decide to use as defense mechanism, whatever it may be, you're well-trained with it and you know how to operate and handle it, because these guys weren't buying 180,000 rounds and run around with it because they want to go plink target practice on Saturday afternoon.
Well, Alito now is calling the Supreme Court block of the Venezuelan gang deportations legally unquestionable.
They're trying to bring him back.
Well, no. Listen to this. This is really complicated. It didn't make any sense when I read it. Supreme Court Justice Alito filed a strongly worded dissent from the court's order issued early April the 19th that temporarily blocked the Trump administration from deporting alleged members of the Venezuelan criminal gang. And so this was so confusing to me because it didn't make any sense because it has a bunch of doublespeak in it.
Yeah.
So I called up Harrison.
Yeah.
He's also his brother. He's our attorney on call.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, what the heck does this mean? I don't want to read this stuff and try to decipher this. And he goes, they can no longer block deportation of the Venezuelan gangs using the Enemies Act.
You kidding me? So they got to go through due process? They got to go through the courts to get deported?
Or they could find another loophole and take it back into court again, but this one won't work anymore. Yeah. And I said, well, why can't they just say that? That doesn't say, but he said, well, that's what they did. And so the crazy part, then I talked to another attorney of mine, Terry, also in Tallahassee, good friend of mine, great lady. I've known her for, my gosh, almost 40 years, I guess. And I asked her, I said, what do you think about this? She goes, well, here's the problem, Ted. They're picking up the wrong people and deporting them. They're picking up American citizens and deporting them.
American citizens?
Mm-hmm. She goes, they're picking up because a lot of, you know, Juan Valdez. You know, there's how many millions of Juan Valdez's are there?
That's true.
Juan Valdez, you know, he's a Mexican national. He's a terrorist. Well, let's pick up all the Juan Valdez's. Okay, well, now we got a whole group of them, and they're being deported.
50,000 of them.
And they're also, some of them are American citizens. Well, now we got a problem, don't we?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Now, you think about it for a second. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all about throwing these clowns out.
Especially gang members that are actually involved in illegal here.
But if here's the problem that we have. If they can throw any American citizen out without due process, they can throw you and me out, too.
Because your name pops up on a list.
Oh, Ted Brewer, his mom was German. Ah, he's got to be bad. He's got to be a German. Get him out of here. And you're like, I was born here. No, you weren't. Out you go.
Hey, we can't find any paperwork on you.
Yeah, we're going to put you in El Salvador prison. I was born here. Sounds like it's going to be a personal problem for you.
Yeah,
you
know, that's a you problem, bud.
You know, I'm like, but I didn't do anything. It doesn't matter. You're out of here, bud. And you're thinking to myself, okay, well, so I talked to Terry about that this morning. I said, you know, this is a real problem. When you start deporting American citizens without due process, the problem is we've got millions of these clowns over here now. How do you clean this mess up?
I don't know, because some of these guys, it's hard because they don't have any significant ID.
Yeah.
So like you said, you go, so Vasquez, and you go, well, he has no driver's license with him. He has no passport with him. He has no paperwork with him.
Deporting you now. We're done.
Yeah. What a stinking gray area, though, to get caught in.
Well,
this.
No. And that's
a serious problem.
Well, no. This is a big problem because then you have to think, well, we're just going to go ahead and throw them all out. Okay? And some, literally in the middle of the night, the court issued unprecedented and legally questionable relief without giving the lower courts a chance to rule. Without hearing from the opposing party within 8 hours of receiving the application, the dubious factual support for its order, and without providing any explanation. You know, and he goes, I refuse to join the court's order because we have no good reason to think that under the circumstances, issuing an order at midnight was unnecessary and appropriate. So it doesn't even talk about what he did or what it's going to do, the implications here. But then Harrison told me they can't use that Enemies Act as far as deportation anymore. Now, it doesn't say that Trump won't continue to deport. Apparently, he doesn't really need a good reason to do any of this. He'll find another reason to deport. And again, don't fuss at me. I'm not saying that a lot of these guys shouldn't be deported because they should. But you can't be throwing American citizens out. You can't throw out the baby with the bathwater here.
You don't, but then you got to understand why you got Mexican nationalists with, you know, immigration visas running around with 180,000 rounds of 30 caliber ammunition in a box van in Colorado.
Well, no, there's something else going on with all this. There's
you know what I'm saying? Because there's
something underground going here. Yeah, because, you know, you get these guys from these gangs in Venezuela. They really don't care if they open up with a full auto machine gun and a crowd.
No, God, no. Watch that movie Sicario. They're sitting there in Border Patrol crossing, waiting for the doggone DEA and those contractors and the Delta.
Don't let your kids watch that movie, but it's a very, very interesting movie.
They're sitting in the car with MP5s.
No?
You know, but I mean, the part that's spooky about this is this wasn't an investigation or them trying to lead into a group. This is a traffic stop because their headlights were out.
With all that ammo.
So how many other times is this happening? These happen caught one van doing this. This is one investigation.
How many thousands of these vans are there?
Right.
How much of this ammo came out of Ukraine?
Or remember, the ammunition, a lot of it, remember I told you this, weapons, systems, surface-to-air missiles, RPGs, or not RPGs, the javelins.
Well, see, 80% of them are disappearing out of Ukraine.
Yeah, all that ammunition. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can't figure out where, like, thousands of javelins went. Can't figure out. We don't know.
That's a problem.
It says anti-tank, bro. And all of a sudden, this just disappears. Like that one Mexican cartel guy, that photo, he had that AT-4 rocket launcher on him. Those aren't made in Mexico. Those sure heck aren't made in Mexico. We're sending a heck of them over to Ukraine, though. How are they landing in Mexico? How are these guys getting 180,000 rounds of ammo?
And, you know, and a lot of people like Putin. And don't get me wrong. He says a lot of stuff I actually think is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Like he wanted to take a ceasefire yesterday for Easter, which I like that, the fact that he did that. But the reality is that Warren, you know, Ukraine is still going on, and we're still having tons of ammunition and tons of stuff going over there, and it doesn't seem like Zelensky has any idea what he's doing, but somebody knows how to traffic these weapons over
there.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I told you that. I said they're not going to stop the conflict in Ukraine until Lockheed Martin and Raytheon find another conflict to get involved in. There's too much money going on over there, too much weapons that are going over there, and also, too, in other news, this is something that's pretty wild. As we were just talking about, you know, FDA, Advisory Committee, the CDC and their infinite insanity, because they just pretty much like to live at the bad ideas factory beside the ATF factory. The CDC advisors recommend making RSV vaccines available to a younger age group. The RSV now currently available for ages 60 and up. They said advisors of the CDC on April 16th recommend agency expands the availability of the vaccines for RSV on a 14-0 vote. They're saying now, swaying me is clear. There are people 50 to 59 age group that exempt, for example, lung transplant patients. They need to have access to the RSV vaccine immediately.
And well, lung transplant patients, how many of those?
How many of those are floating around?
A few dozen?
Yeah.
I mean, what the heck? So now we're going to change out an entire category. Well, I'm telling you what this is for. Sell more vaccines.
That's exactly what it is, because you can't start restricting the age group on a shot and make massive profits. This is why now you've got all this. They have an RNA bird flu shot that's been approved now for human testing that they're trying to roll out and get on the shot schedule. All this stuff is accumulating very quickly. We've never seen these type of shots rolled out on the human population since COVID, because of the RNA gene therapy. And now this stuff is popping up left and right, and they're getting approved all over the place. So, again, do your own research on it if you start taking this stuff. I don't recommend it. I don't take these shots. That's on me, though. You guys make your own decisions.
I don't take the shots either.
I don't think anybody needs to get the shot. I wouldn't touch that stuff. You couldn't pay me to take one of these shots. It doesn't. You can go, here's $1 million. I'm still not taking the shot. Over the light switch, you know, you flip one of those light switches, you're going to die. One of those light switches, you might make some money. One of those light switches, you might be, you know, maimed the rest of your life. How about I just don't flip a light switch?
Yeah,
I choose just not to participate.
I remember years ago, and I've told you this story before. You know, I mean, this is when Biden first got into office. He was talking about using the National Guard to go door to door. Remember that?
He used to run that rhetoric around.
Yeah, and then Sharon, you know, walked in the living room, and I said, this is crazy. I said, I can't even believe this guy's talking like this. National Guard to force vaccinations? I said, this is insanity. And I told her, I said, I'm not doing this. I'll stand at the door with a gun. I'll go to heaven real quick. I'm not doing this.
Well, it's a problem. And it's not like, you know, you're trying to sound like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to fight this. The standpoint about this is that you have to take a stand and fight for something at one point. If you reach a point to where you're allowing a government body or any group of individuals at that point to forcibly inject you with an experiment against your will, and you go along with it eventually and you don't fight back, there is no more republic.
Well, there's got to be a hill to stand on.
Correct.
Sooner or later. You've got to go along.
If you don't fight there, where are you going to fight?
Well, so I looked at Sharon and I said, what do you want to do? She says, get me an AR-15. I'm going out with you. Remember that? And I thought to myself, you know, this is, you know, this great wife, great woman.
That rhetoric got shut down real quick.
Oh, yeah.
The blowback
And now Hegseth, you know, this guy, he's got more allegations. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth is taking heavy fire once again. It looks like another coordinated attack. Now, listen to this. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to read you this first paragraph because I want you to understand what they're doing to him and why, in my opinion. This is from Zero Hedge. Secretary of Defense Peg Hegseth is taking heavy fire once again in what looks like a coordinated attack. Sunday brought a sensational new allegation that he violated operational security ahead of the March 15th strikes in Yemen. So they're still dragging on this. And opted in from a former Hegseth advocate calling for his removal over the chaos of the Pentagon. Now, listen to the next sentence, Austin. This is really important. Everybody listen to this one. While it's hard to discern motives in D.C.'s House of Cards intrigue, the renewed assault comes after Hegseth reportedly helped dissuade, talk him out of, Donald Trump from launching Israel's long-pursued U.S. war on Iran.
Interesting.
So Hegseth told Trump not to attack Iran for Israel, and suddenly they're coming after him with knives out.
Interesting.
Now, let me ask you a question. Who runs our federal government? I'm just asking, you know. But the truth of the matter is, and we got to make sure Austin doesn't go berserk again. By the way, last month, Hegseth.
Don't at me like that.
last month, this is on Friday's show. You can watch it, but it's been edited. Last month, Hegseth found himself in the middle of a media and political firestorm after he unwittingly shared detailed information. Remember, one of the top guys in there was an Israeli. The Israeli is the one who blew the whistle on Hegseth. Remember, I told you there was a tie-in to this.
Yep.
And now they're saying that he's basically kept Donald Trump from attacking Iran, and now all of a sudden he's being told that he needs to resign. I find that fascinating. I guess he's not as hardcore of a Zionist as they wanted in that position. Oh, by the way, the Pope died, too.
I know. I saw that. The thing about that is this guy, he was a nightmare of a Pope.
He's horrible.
I mean, the rhetoric that he spewed out there.
I'm going to read you something. This is a friend of mine who's a hardcore Catholic. He goes, listen to this. This is what my friend said. I firmly believe this pope was an apostate pope and basically evil.
Yeah.
Okay. This guy's a strong Christian. He's a strong Christian. My friend. I'm glad he is no longer the pope. And I pray that the conclave is led by the Holy Spirit and not politics this time in choosing his successor.
Yeah. Valid point.
And I thought, okay.
Well, I know a lot of Catholics. And I have good friends that are Catholics. And, I mean, the thing about it is most of them couldn't stand this guy either.
I told you. I went to Argentina.
Yeah.
I was there. I was there about it was back 14 years ago.
Yeah.
We went on a cruise down around Cape Horn. And I remember we picked the ship up in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. And it was interesting because we went to the grave of, you know, of Eva Perón, who's, you know, the dictator there back, his wife back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And they actually had it, so she wasn't even, she was in the bottom of the, very bottom of the grave thing. And I thought, when was she down there? Well, they stolen her body apparently once.
Oh, really?
And they had her in another, she wasn't even in that crypt where she said that she was. She was underneath it in like a locked up vault.
Why did they want to steal her body so bad?
Because they loved this woman, I guess. I don't know what the deal was. But anyhow, need I digress, okay? But so I'm talking to all these people basically that were down there who had this pope in the church there in Argentina.
Okay.
You know, and they hated him. They said he was directly involved in Operation Condor. And this is what they told me. Now, I wasn't down there. I don't know what he did. And that he was directly involved in sending a lot of people through the CIA to their deaths. They were taking them off the back of transport planes and dropping off in the ocean. That's what I was told. And that he was bad news. He was a hardcore, you know, leftist, hardcore communist. Remember, he's the one who pushed the DEI into the Vatican and pushed all of these weird things with transgenders. So personally, I'm with Tom. I'm glad he's no longer the Pope. And I pray the conclave is led by the Holy Spirit. What's interesting is, you know, Tom, I like Tom. But he doesn't say, I'm glad he's dead. He doesn't say that.
Right.
He goes, I'm glad he's no longer the Pope. And, you know, and I guess that's an easier way of saying it, more politically correct. I like Tommy's a good man.
This is crazy. I didn't realize this on here. This Operation Condor, this was from 1975 to 1983. It was right around the same time when a lot of that stuff started to happen with Barry Seal. It says, due to the clandestine nature, the precise number of deaths directly attributable to Operation Condor is highly disputable. Some estimates are at least 60,000 deaths are attributed to Condor, with up to 30,000 of these in Argentina.
And that's what he was involved with, so they said.
This collaboration had a devastating impact on countries like Argentina, where Condor exacerbated existing political violence and contributed to the dirty war that left estimated 30 people dead or disappeared. Other estimates
30,000.
50,000. Yeah, 30. Other estimated 50,000 killed, 30,000 disappeared, and 400,000 imprisoned.
And they told me the people in his parish there that he was directly involved with that.
Golly, I haven't read about that in a while.
Well, you remember Operation Condor was in South America,
and correct.
Operation Gladio was in in Europe when they had people correct. Blowing up things and setting off bombs all over Europe back in the 60s and 70s to try to stop the spread of communism. It was all CIA directed. When you really get involved with this stuff, you start looking at how corrupt our CIA is, Austin, then you know why Kennedy wanted to ban it to get rid of it. This was getting rid of it.
Involving intelligence operations. Mm-hmm. So this is all CIA down there. I did not realize that many people died or disappeared and were in prison with that Operation Condor. Mm-hmm. 400,000 people in prison. That's a lot of people to throw in jail over a coup.
Hence why so many people hated this Pope.
Yeah. If he really was involved in that. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, they live down there. They know better than you and I will.
I'm just that's telling you. I don't know what he did. I just know what they told me. And I could not find one person in Buenos Aires. Not one. And it's a big city who liked this guy because he was made Pope when I was down there. Not one person liked him. They were all
that's
upset.
Why it was a big deal because he was made Pope.
Yep.
There, okay.
And they didn't just dislike him. They hated him.
That's wild.
And they were happy he left, and then they were really upset he became Pope. because they're Catholics. Sword. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want him in Argentina. They had enough of him.
Then he became the Pope.
And then, of course, he's the one who was an unbelievably hardcore leftist with the Catholic Church. He's done more. He single-handedly did more to damage the Pope probably than that Vatican change in the Vatican II or whatever it was in the 60s, which is that was destructive to this whole Catholic Church. It was awful what they did.
This is a nice, fun little bubblegum article from Monday. Boston celebrates its 250th anniversary of Paul Revere's ride with warning, tyranny is at our door. They did a big reenactment of this over there.
Oh, I saw him riding the horse.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Moving pretty quick.
The midnight roll of Paul Revere to warn the British troops were approaching. And they said this wasn't just for theater. They're essentially saying that this reenactment is at the point now where we are having the British basically coming, not just those individuals specifically, but tyranny is at our door.
Well, I guess Donald Trump, this is what this is all about.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, though, too, it's also not because we're looking at this again.
Show me the article.
Yeah, right here on Breitbart. This right here, what's interesting about this, though, is that you've got this media sway. Oh, I thought I pulled it off my bat. There we go. I thought I had it clicked on here. I apologize on my remote handling on this. Now, what's interesting about this, now, you've noticed what the media has been doing is they've been trying to essentially gaslight and deflect what's happening. And they're starting to say everything that basically Biden did They're trying to pull it back and say, now Trump's the tyrant. Everything Biden doing was accurate and good, and all this tyranny that Biden was doing was, you know, not tyranny, it was fantastic. But what Trump's doing now is tyrannical. And the crazy thing about this is how the media uses the basically theater of psychology to gaslight people and tell people, no, you're crazy for thinking this. This is who the real problem is. Donald Trump's the real issue right now. Donald Trump's creating tyranny. And they manipulate and twist these stories. And it's gotten wild.
Three words.
Three words.
Gay poster boy.
Three words.
Okay, you're going to have to elaborate on that one.
Thank you for asking me to elaborate. Back in the 90s, I was doing a talk show in Boston.
Okay,
and it's a super liberal city. I mean, this is back 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they have a commercial come on, and the two DJs that are running the show say, we're having a contest for the gay poster boy this week from Boston. And I thought they were joking. They weren't joking. And they started promoting this.
On the radio.
They wanted everybody to send them the gay photos for the poster boy. And I just kind of put the phone down. I hung up. I disconnected, No, it was like the number one station in Boston at that time. So, I mean, I was going to promote our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program, and I decided I didn't want to be associated with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so they called me back after the show, and they were unbelievably mad. They said, you lost a lot of money this morning because you didn't do a show with us. And I said, I'm not going to be associated with your gay poster boy stuff, boys.
Gay poster boy.
No. So that's Boston. It's that liberal. And so when they do this with Paul Revere, it ain't about the Republic, and it sure in the heck isn't about fighting tyranny. It's about fighting MAGA and Donald Trump.
Okay, that makes more sense then.
Yeah, it's just what these guys do up there. It's crazy. Oh, by the way, the dollar's continuing to go down, and gold has gone through the roof now.
I saw
over $3,400 an ounce now. So, and it's not going to stop. It's going to just keep going and going and going. Not sure what the dollar is going to do. They're going to let that drop until
the dollar index is on its way down right now. I was looking at the charts this morning. Zero Hedge put an article out on this morning. And, you know, it's been up and down with the inflation index, with the issues that we've been going on with the interest rates. But right now, see, here's the thing about this. If you look at this dollar index here, this is where they're talking about. We're dropping down now to a mid-2021 mark. If this continues to go down and this reaches a point of where we were during COVID, that's going to be a very, very significant flag. If it drops below that and we actually go below the dollar index when 2020, which was the worst of the dollar was, you're going to start seeing some serious issues as far as with these banks.
But remember what's going to happen, though. If the dollar goes down, our exports are going to get much cheaper.
That's true.
Okay, and it's going to get rid of a lot of these different tariffs. It's going to negate them.
Yes.
Okay, because the dollar is going to be fluctuating so hard.
Now, if that happens, if it does do that,
and that should,
gold.
And that should really spur our exports.
Yes.
And, you know, and Trump said that first, you know, his first term, that if we had a weaker dollar, our exports would be cheaper and we'd have to be able to manufacture more in the United States. This is a floating scale.
True.
So we don't know what's going to happen with all this. By the way, here's a health article. This is going to be a horrible segue, but we're going to do it anyhow. Top doctor reveals the biggest medical myth that we've all fallen for, and it's cost us billions of dollars.
Medical myth is here.
It's what we've been talking about for years. For decades, doctors believed that high cholesterol was a clear warning sign of impending heart attack and early death. Medical experts have long warned patients not to eat too much red meat, cheese, and eggs, believing cholesterol in food raises cholesterol in the body, and that those high levels can cause a myriad of health problems. Cholesterol is a waxy substance that builds up in cells, synthesizes vitamins, and produces hormones like estrogen and testosterone. Like I said, without cholesterol, you can't make testosterone. And there's two types of HDL, the good kind and the bad kind. LDL can form in plaques that build up in the arteries, et cetera, et cetera. But scientists are now discovering the real danger isn't indulging in cholesterol and high foods and decreasing LDL levels, a medical myth that has led to billions of dollars in pharmaceutical and fad diet sales for decades. It's actually when the HDL levels fall too low. They're saying that low cholesterol is the most dangerous portion here.
is it that what they've been telling everybody you need?
Telling you that. The idea that cholesterol alone could drop the risk of heart attack took off in the 50s and was considered medical orthodoxy until recently. As it persisted, the diet industry continued to flourish. It helped spawn an $8.4 billion diet food market. But now researchers are challenging the long-held myth, arguing cholesterol levels aren't the medical check engine light they've long been made out to be, and there are other ways to protect yourself that doesn't include skipping a steak dinner and taking a pill every day.
Well, that's you see right here. This is another article that popped up on millions of Americans taking popular daily drugs, don't need them, and maybe putting themselves at risk of nasty side effects, a major study. So they're just reiterating this now more and more and more. what's going on with these statin drugs. Guys, there's so many natural ways to get your cholesterol in range if you really need to do so. Because remember this, the cholesterol statin drugs, they were never designed to be used long-term like many of these other pharmaceuticals. When these drugs were first in R&D and they first went into testing and production, they looked at them on short-term scales, 12-month, 16-month runs on statin drugs in order to get the HDL or in order to get the LDL levels to a healthier level with people that were morbidly obese and had 400, 450, 500 cholesterol levels. Their blood's like molasses, super thick from being unbelievably toxic from eating so much food. That's what these drugs were designed to do and prevent them from having heart attacks and getting their cholesterol down. They were never designed to be shoving your cholesterol below 200 and go on preventative aspects of these drugs.
Here you go. Dr. Dorwart's research found that unlike people with genetically high cholesterol disorders, he said the keto dieters, people who were eating a clean diet with high LDL cholesterol, were metabolically pristine without signs of obesity, diabetes, or any clogging of the arteries or insulin resistance. How about that? The 100 dieters in his study showed their liver was producing large and buoyant LDL particles that were less likely to stick to artery walls to tip away the cholesterol can. The participants all had fully functioning LDL receptors. I'm going to say this again, and I said this so many times. The lower your cholesterol goes, especially under 200, the higher your risks of cancer and the less amount of testosterone you're going to produce. So if your libido's, you know, in the toilet somewhere, if you're a dude, and your lean muscle mass has gone through the floor and you don't know what to do with it, you might need to go eat a steak.
Won't hurt you.
Won't hurt
some
you.
Some good organic ground beef.
Yeah, well, no, or some
rice.
Eggs. Well, I had my eggs this morning.
And
you
gotta have eggs.
And what you've got to realize is if you don't eat the right foods on an ongoing basis, you can't produce enough hormones in your body, and you have to have a certain amount of cholesterol. The sad part about it is a lot of people think that they can just eat a soy-based diet, lower their cholesterol, which elevates their estrogen, and be healthy, and they find out they're not. They start increasing body fat. They start feeling unbelievably horrible. Their libido goes to the floor, and all cancer rates and all disease rates go up when your cholesterol goes under 200. I try to keep my cholesterol over 200. I eat eggs all the time because I want it over 200. I try to stay between 200 and 250. Sometimes I drop down to 180 or 170. I go eat more eggs.
You got to have the healthy fats in your diet. Too many people neglect those, man. Mm-hmm. And now the problem is now the increase. And I talked this in a study a week and a half ago. If you guys remember this article, I went into detail talking about how there was an enormous amount of uptake in omega 6 fats like soybean oil and canola oil, and a decrease in omega 3 fats, and it's massively increasing the inflammatory response in people's bodies, and it's increasing the cancer rates, and it's increasing other health problems now.
Well, and plus, let's not forget, we're throwing spike proteins in now, too, with all of the shots we're giving everybody.
Throw the RNA gene therapy shot in there on top of that.
They're tiny little sand spurs. Now we dump sand spurs into the bloodstream.
Then you dump omega-6 fats in it.
There you go. And then you have huge clots coming out of people that are being, autopsied and who are being embalmed.
Let's drink some soybean oil on top of having some spike proteins.
Everything. The other night when I had a really good piece of wild salmon.
Yeah.
It was delicious. It came with asparagus. I thought that's a clean diet. Oh, my gosh, it was great. And here I am trying to be in great shape, and the person next to me at the birthday party was eating a giant plate of pasta. And they were massively overweight. So there's like a dichotomy. You look at it, you go, wow, okay, who's going to be the healthy one here?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, this is crazy. But, the sad part about it, people simply don't know the truth about this stuff, Austin. They've been lying to you so much about these dogs. In fact, if you look at my book, Breakthrough Health, we list the top 10 drugs never to use.
Yep.
The number one drug we tell people not to take are statin drugs.
Yep.
They cause skeletal muscle necrosis. They cause your skeletal muscles to rot. And when they rot, they get into the bloodstream, and they plug up the kidneys, and you have kidney failure from it. I'll never forget, I had this top evangelist. I did a lot of shows with him about 25 years ago. And, and we raised a lot of money for his ministry. Great guy, great hunter guy. He was a real macho dude. In fact, he got a contractor mad at him one time, and they got into an argument. He knocked the contractor out.
Yeah.
Our kind of preacher, right? And but then again, it may have been his father who knocked him out. There's all kinds of rumors about that. But the crazy part about this is that he'd lost like 35 pounds on the diet, on my Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. And what was crazy about it, his mom basically went on my program, and then she ended up having kidney problems. Unbeknownst to me, she had been put on statin drugs.
Really?
Which caused skeletal muscle necrosis. And then finally they told her that that was the problem and why she was having kidney issues is because she was on the statin drugs. And I told her, I said, there's no way eating clean caused you to have problems with your kidneys. There's no way. But if you're on statin drugs, it can, because it can cause skeletal muscle necrosis. Those muscle fibers are then put into the bloodstream because they rot. And then the kidneys, they get in the blood, they get into the kidney and mess up the kidney. That's one of the reasons we have so many dialysis centers all around the United States now.
They are everywhere. It's like almost every strip mall you drive by, mm-hmm. there's always some dialysis center now, especially Lakeland. I bet six or seven of them have popped up.
You've got to have dialysis for people having kidney problems because you've got to be able to filter the blood. Now the kidneys quit working. Now they're all waiting on a transplant list. You think, well, are you saying that that's that bad? Yeah, I'm saying that's bad. That statin drugs are that bad. Control your diet. And it was crazy. My cholesterol is at 150, so the doctor put me on statins. I hear that all the time.
Yeah,
my cholesterol is on 80, and the doctor put me on statins.
Preventatively, because he wants to make sure I don't have a heart attack 40 years from now. And I'm like, that doesn't even make sense.
The statistics show if you're on statin drugs for like 37 years, you live like 3 days longer.
It's just like saying this. You got a great idea. You know, there's a probability in the future you might break an arm in an accident. So we're going to put you on OxyContin preventatively so it doesn't hurt as bad if you could break your arm.
No, we're going to put your arm in a cast.
Yeah.
And OxyContin.
Yeah. But I didn't break my arm. But you could. But you could one day. The probability is there. And you're like...
But I don't want to wear a cast. So my muscles will atrophy.
And I don't want to be on OxyContin.
Well, we're going to do it anyhow.
We're going to do it anyway. It's for your safety.
And the FDA's approved it.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Here we go.
That must make it safe.
Oh, yeah.
You can't be talking bad about the FDA. If the FDA approves it, you know it's good for you. They care about your health, Dad. They really want you to be healthy.
Horrible dingbats for that place.
This is an interesting article. I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm going to get his opinion on it. This is a very strange report. It says the incidence of pediatric thyroid cancer has skyrocketed. And they're saying here in this article, nighttime pollution and artificial light is increasing children's thyroid cancer risk, or may increase it. Now, this is interesting here. It's saying air pollution and artificial nighttime lighting could be contributing to a rise in thyroid cancer among children, study from Yale looked at. The case control, published in Environmental Health, involved 736 children diagnosed with papillary thyroid cancer in California, comparing them to 36,800 control subjects without cancer. This is a strange part of the study here. A, they did it in California. B, they're trying to tie in air pollution and light pollution with thyroid cancer, and they're looking at 736 kids that got thyroid cancer and 36,000 subjects that didn't get thyroid cancer. And they're going into detail saying the environmental factors based on different amounts of micrograms per cubic meter increase in light pollution and all this different stuff. I personally, this is my opinion, because I've read through this article, I think a lot of this is being used as theater to negate the fact of what's happening with thyroid cancer in these children based on the shot, based on diet, and also based on glyphosate exposure and a lot of toxic elements that they're getting exposure, all in conjunction. I don't see how light pollution is going to increase thyroid cancer.
Well, it would deal with the pineal gland, the production of melatonin.
Possibly.
Melatonin is a very strong antioxidant, okay? Remember, light pollution is very bad in civilized countries.
It is.
Countries,
no, it is.
Okay? Last night, I woke up at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck? Why am I waking up? Well, I look over and my one door's lit up. And all the light from the living room, I'd left my living room light on by accident. I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and turned off the living room light.
Right.
You know, and I thought, so this is great. Get to flip all the lights on to walk to the other light. And so then I went back to bed and slept for a few more hours.
Yeah.
But the crazy part about it is light coming into the body at night, you know, tells the pineal gland you're outside and it's daytime. And so it's difficult for it to produce melatonin and allow you to sleep. So could this melatonin, which is incredibly strong, it's even stronger than the vitamin C, it's an antioxidant,
okay, like
the melatonin is. You take more than they tell you to take, but the reality is it gives you a hangover all day.
Well, no, it's crazy. There was a research study I talked about on this show about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and they were experimenting with older individuals with up to 25 milligrams of melatonin.
Yeah.
Which I'm not recommending. That was just 3 milligrams, and they're strong.
You will be sleepy the next day.
But they were doing it as an experiment to see the antioxidant effects from high doses of melatonin. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, a lot of these individuals that had ailments, mm-hmm. they actually started coming down and decreasing when they took high doses of melatonin.
So now we have elevated light.
Lack of melatonin production.
Having a telephone beside you all night, making your pineal gland think
through
bright sunlight.
Yeah.
I try to tell people, turn your stinking telephones off when you go to bed.
Yeah.
And the only reason you'd need a telephone on, and you put it on the other side of the bedroom and put it under a blanket so you don't see any light coming out of it, and turn it off so it mutes so you don't hear the beep beeps all night, is if you have children that are running around that you've got to be contacted in the case of an emergency.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, invariably when I go on a date or whatever, I just leave my phone in the car. All my kids are raised. What's the big deal? I think talk to me in an hour. But the reality is people put their phones by their beds and they look at that blue light right until they go to sleep. And that really decreases melatonin production. And all of these things could be a contributing factor to this type of cancer. It could be. So I suggest that you keep it dark at night. If you have to have, if you can't see at night in your room because you don't want to trip, put a flashlight by the bed. That's the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, well, I always recommend putting a flashlight on. By the bed.
Like, what happens if the power goes out? You got to be able to get around if you can't turn the light on. And so do that. It's a lot simpler. And by the way, I talked about this a little bit last week. I want to talk about it now. No beef, lamb, milk, or cheese within 25 years on their net zero government-funded report.
There you go. That's why they're trying to wipe out all the livestock over there in the U.K.
Yeah, this is crazy. Achieving net zero in 25 years would mean a complete transformation of the U.K.'s agriculture and food system that would affect a diet devoid of beef, lamb, and all dairy products, according to the latest work from the government-funded U.K. Fires. This is all about keeping your cholesterol really, really low so you can't make testosterone. Just thought I'd mention that to what you think about. And here's a perfect thing that ties it right together with it. The truth about America's $70,000 a year elite private schools, from sex, drug scandals to wild wokery. And they go into detail about all these special schools. Now, these aren't colleges. These are like high schools.
$70,000 a year?
Yeah. And then what they do is they have all these crazy drug things going on, this crazy sex thing going on. They're making them all wide woke, and they're telling them that gay is good. So be really careful if you decide to put your child into a
$70,000 a year, bro. That's more schools. Than majority of colleges with full everything.
But these elite people, quote, they call themselves elite.
They're not elite.
They're just basically trust fund babies. No, they're trust fund babies. 90% of them are going to be trust fund babies. Very few people are going to have enough money based upon what they produce in their lifetime to send their child to a $70,000 a year, high school or middle school.
That's $1 million K-12, bro.
I know.
That's going to be after tax.
Like
too.
I said, though people, very few. So these are trust fund kids. And the trust fund kids are a problem to start with because they basically are so woke, they never have to work.
That's true.
I had a friend of mine the other day. When I was a kid, I had to dig ditches.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I had to dig ditches. I had to work in septic tanks. I had to put in drain lines. I had to do all kinds of crazy stuff that I did not like, but I did because we had that fish camp. And so what ended up happening is I learned how to work. And I taught all of my children how to work, including my daughters. When we were putting in an irrigation system for their grandmother, we all got out there with shovels and dug the lines out to save the grandmother money. We did. We dug the ditches. I ran the pipes personally. And so you're thinking to yourself, did you really do that? Yep, I sure did. And I had a friend of mine the other day who's a trust fund baby.
Yeah.
And she told me, she goes, I cannot believe that my grandfather made my mother dig ditches. She really said that. Yeah. And I said, I made my daughters dig ditches. Oh, can't believe you did that. I'm like, well, yeah, everybody's got
to
learn.
We trenched that one dog on power line to the dock that one year.
Oh my gosh.
To that oak tree set up. It was a big oak tree we were running a trench through. And we couldn't get a trenching machine like a ditch witch because the irrigation that was already there that we put in a place. We had to run this power line down there. And I remember we got about 30 feet out from that oak tree. Boy, you start hitting those roots. And I'm sitting there with a shovel. I remember the axe for an entire day chopping roots up. We got it done, though.
And then we got the chainsaw out.
Yeah. Burned through the chainsaw.
And we burnt through the blade. Yeah, because you get too much sand in it. Yeah.
That oak tree loved us. Honestly, that oak tree been there for a long time.
Yeah, oak tree's still doing great.
That was doing great.
These
weren't even the big roots, guys. We're like 30, 40 feet. These were just feeder roots.
Always remember, when you plant an oak tree, it's not going to stay a little tree. It's going to get big, especially a live oak.
I do laugh sometimes at these developments, too, these housing developments. Sometimes they come out and they have these fancy walls, and then they plant oak trees.
3 feet from the wall.
Right up next to the footer. Yeah, yeah. They're little, 2-inch diameter oak trees. And I'm like,
they're not going to stay 2 inch.
I've lived in Florida my whole life. You guys ever been down to some of these old lakes? We got these oak trees that are 70, 80 feet tall, some of them. They're huge. Yeah, oak trees don't stay that size. And it's funny, I've been to college campuses before where you'll see they have these areas, all the pavers are pushed up.
Oh, yeah.
They're like 40, 50 feet away from the tree, all the pavers are pushed up. We're going to have to move the tree, picking up the entire sidewalk and roadway. I'm like, what happens? The trees don't stop growing.
It's been a fun show today with you guys. I got to pray for you this morning. You guys are amazing to me. I love you guys. I had a great time in church yesterday. It was a blast. Our Friday night service was amazing. If you got a chance to watch the Friday night Good Friday service at the Lutheran Church, Grace Lutheran Church in Winter Haven, go watch it online. It's worth it. It was unreal. It was one of the most powerful services I've ever been to in my entire life. And it was great. In fact, you'll see me when they're carrying the cross down the aisle. It stops right by me. So I show up right on the video looking at it. I'm like, great. I didn't plan on that.
Man, you're popular. Hey, you made it now, bro. You're on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Hope you guys have a fantastic day. Be sure to sign up for the newsletters on the Brewer Show. You can sign up for the Brewer Show and Health Masters at Hewitt Team Health Masters. Name, email, get this sent right to your email every single day. And make sure you're staying on top of the different specials we have and the different deals, including our collagen peptide form that will be on sale for Product of the Week one last day at 15% off. And vote for what you want to see.
Great.
Well, this is another kit that's been popular. I've told you guys, is the Fit Food and the Purple Stick, either vanilla or chocolate. I like the chocolate. Even with the purple stick, it tastes good. Some people don't like the berry and the chocolate together, so we got the vanilla for that. You can mix it up on ice, you can mix it up in a shaker, you can drink it whatever. It mixes up pretty good, and it's a good staple in California.
And by the way, always remember, it was Jesus who came back from the dead. It's all about Jesus. I love you guys so much. I really appreciate you.
Talk to you guys tomorrow, as always, my friends. We'll